This is the October 3 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org, WILLAG.org. Our panelists for the day include Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana, and Garrett Toy of First Choice Commodities out of Stockton, Illinois. Garrett, I'd like to start with you first. It's been a while since we've had you on the program. Why don't you remind folks where you are and what you do?
Sure. It's Garrett Toy, First Choice Commodities and Ag Trader Talk. We're located up here in the northwest corner of the state in Stockton, Illinois. We work with commercial grain elevators and producers basically across the Corn Belt.
Well, tell me about your area first, because I'm interested to know what conditions look like.
Well, we're about 45 minutes east of Dubuque, so we're over on the not far from the Mississippi River. We've been the garden spot for most of the, we had the wet spring, as everybody did, and then we were kind of fortunate when everything turned off dry. We had consistent rains, and we were what I consider the garden spot for most of the year, and then the rains started again. locally around here, we've had some people that have dumped, 20, 25 inches of rain out of the rain gauge in the month of September. We just knocked another 4 inches out this week. Not a wheel is turned around here. Talking to a lot of producers locally, as each day goes on, a lot more despair and frustration is growing. We want to be in the field. We've got some decent looking beans. They're short like everything. But we've got some beans that were probably early beans that were ready probably about 2 weeks ago that, if it keeps going the way it's going, we're going to have some issues. So that's the first foremost, concerns that we have around here.
Yeah. So you're between Freeport and Dubuque and you're way up there on that Wisconsin line. What color is the corn at this point? Is it dried down or are you still green?
No, we've got a little bit of everything. I would say just around my house specifically, we've got corn that was planted in May. I would say just locally where I live, probably around 40% of the corn is planted around June 3rd. So we've got corn that's drying down and we have corn that's green as a gourd. So, we need some extra time. We need some drying weather. that's the one thing is the summer's weather program is kind of giving us a little bit of everything for everyone. The heat helped the early stuff and maybe some later stuff, and then now it's not really helping anything. So
I'm going to push you just a little bit more here because I think there will be an awful lot of corn that is in the same stage as you are there from the Dakotas all the way through Ohio in that upper third of the Midwest. Do they think it'll make black there, the stuff that was planted June 3rd and after?
That's the hope. We've had above normal temps here earlier this week. Now things are turning more seasonal. We really don't have any frost on the radar yet. Obviously we hope that it'll reach black layer. But we need probably at least another 3 weeks before, we get close to anything. So,
and have you been into those fields to know what yield looks like?
Early stuff looks the potential looks very good in the early stuff. The late stuff, actually surprisingly, the June 3rd stuff, has got some decent pollination and decent ears on them. Obviously test weight, depends on how the next 3 weeks go.
Right. So if you've got a 200 bushel yield, you'll have a 200 bushel yield pretty regardless of whether you make it or not. It's just a matter really of what condition it's in, whether it got frozen. You're not going to lose yield exactly, but condition will be.
It's going to come down to weight, right?
Yeah. Condition could be bad. And so that kind of sets the tone, I think, I want to go with for this particular commodity week. Now, Dan Zwicker, I want to turn to you very quickly because we talked during the closing market report about where we were on the charts, that September key reversal in corn. And here we are discussing corn that's still 3 weeks away in the state of Illinois. We know corn in North Dakota is in the same place, parts of Iowa, maybe Minnesota, though I think they're further along. Ohio, Indiana, Bill Gentry can let us know here in just a bit about that. But what does this tell you about what the charts showed us with that key reversal? Anything at all?
Well, if anything, it's a key reversal to the upside when 85% of the time during the month of September, we close lower. So that, I think, in itself tells you that this market at least has the potential, or at least I would, you know, my betting would be that we're going to go higher here through the harvest months. And then, you know, maybe we're going to have some kind of high here in late December, early January, maybe around the current January final. And then that would be somewhat of typical of a short crop that we would peak early in the marketing year, and then we would have a long tail. So I guess it's still kind of hard to say that we got a short crop or not. We'll see what USDA gives us, I guess, next week on the October report. But my bias is, you know, given the fact that we got 300 million bushels less than what we thought we had on hand, and some downward adjustments on the bushels, could all of a sudden we got a balance sheet that's a whole lot tighter than what everybody thought it was going to be 6, 7, 8 months ago. And that would classify what I would call as a short crop. And therefore, the function of the market would be to go up to the point where it would kind of ration out supplies or ration demand during the first part of the growing season. And then, like I talked to you a week ago, I mean, if we truly do have 20 million prevent plant corn and we still planted 91 or 92 million acres of corn, then, you know, the talk next year is we're going to have 100 million acres of planted corn. So it'll be very difficult for the market to rally, I think, into the spring and into the growing season unless we have adverse weather.
Yeah, so I think prevent plant on corn would be about 11 million, 20 million total of all kinds of prevent plant across the United States. Bill Gentry, what are conditions like in your area, and have you driven through that area over into Ohio? You were in probably Indiana, Ohio, one of the worst struck areas for late planting in the early part of the year. And I know Lafayette's not so bad, but if you get into the northwestern corner of Ohio, they just didn't plant.
I think we got a lot of it planted, although it was very late. I think right now, as far as maturity is concerned, we're just about as concerned as anybody that a lot of our crop is not going to make black layer, or especially if we get this late season or this cold snap late next week, it's going to put a lot of guys in dire straits. And the condition of the corn, it's not going to dry down very well. And once you kill it, even drying it down in the dryer is going to be a real serious task. So I think realistically, the corn crop is mostly made for most guys, but the stuff that could be harvested is done. And now we're waiting on the other corn to try to finish up a little bit as best it can. As far as soybeans are concerned, we're real nervous about pod counts and think realistically, they're not going to be there. And the bean yield is in serious trouble.
So come back to this point. The corn crop is made. What do you think it looks like on average?
We've got an estimate for us at 166 national average yield. I think there's the yields are highly variable now, and we've had peaks and valleys in the reports that we are getting. But we think that 166 is a little optimistic at this particular point in time, but we don't want to throw caution to the wind and drop the yields too far because the trade is probably not in that mindset yet, and we'll wait until we get some more data out of the fields, because I think most of the guys were thinking 10% less than a year ago, and most of the reports that we're getting now are 15 or 16% below a year ago. So I think there's still some adjustments to be made, but it's probably going to be a tighter crop than most people realized. And I don't think the trade has really traded these numbers yet. I think we might have done it in the acres in the spring, but not yield numbers coming into fall.
Have you taken this week's grain stocks number and your yield number and rolled them into a supply and demand report so far?
We've tried to. I think realistically, what we want to see next week is what the USDA does with demand. Because once you constrict supply, like we're probably going to see, I think they're going to probably ratchet down demand. And I want to see how the USDA adjusts for that, because they really are going to have to adjust the yield down somewhat. And then we'll just see how they want to manicure it down to the bottom line.
Where do you think ending stocks are for 2019-20?
What we're dialing in is 388 for beans and just a hair under 1.7 for corn. And we think that both of those numbers could trim. One of the comments that we've been talking about in our office is if you trim bean yields down one or two more bushel, it's going to be a very interesting situation.
Wait, you're already down at 388 for soybeans and you're at 1.7 for corn. Those are pretty, those numbers are getting down to something that seems reasonable, I suppose. 1.7 would be a pretty decent number for corn. What kind of dollars are you, or price are you putting on crops at that level?
Right now, I think you could I think you could trap it into maybe another 25 or 40 cents to the upside in both corn and maybe a little bit more in beans. I don't want to get really wildly bullish here, but I do think that the trade is going to have to make some adjustments as far as positions are concerned, because the funds have been short for an extended period of time. And as Dan talked about, we could get into a rationing situation, which could take us to some better levels. I don't know about new highs just yet, but better levels than we've seen for several months.
So you're talking 420 on the top end for corn, maybe?
Yeah, at this particular point in time, I think 420 is definitely doable. Going to need some better news to really eclipse that.
Garrett Toy, where do you have your supply and demand figures?
We're pushing the 1.8 number. Obviously we have a little bit questions about demand. We've seen the ethanol numbers as obviously the SRE issue is first and foremost, but kind of behind the scenes, part of the issue that hurt ethanol demand for corn was the ethanol yields, which, if this corn crop quality is what it could be, will kind of take care of itself next year with ethanol yields coming down. Exports, we're to the point where we're not expensive anymore, but we still have a ways to go to get caught up to where we need to be versus USDA projections. So, it's possible that, we could have not only just yield, as Bill had mentioned, but, don't forget this October report, we have the acreage adjustments as well. So we could have a double whammy, but there are some potential here for demand adjustments as well. But, we're in the 1.8 numbers. We're not quite as aggressive on the soybeans as Bill is. We're still closer to the mid-fours in five numbers. But obviously, rightfully so. I mean, the pod counts are concerning, and it could get worse, as this weather forecast develops over the next, 30 to 45 days.
When you talk about an acreage adjustment, you're looking on the harvested acreage side.
Correct. This October report is the month when they do make their adjustments. So,
hey, Dan, do you have a WASDE supply and demand figure set you're thinking about? And if not, I have a different question.
Well, I think everybody's still trading too high yield. I think at the end of the day, we're going to be closer on corn. We're going to be closer to 160 bushels than 170. And I think on the soybeans, we're going to be probably closer to 42 than 48. And I think the soybeans are absolutely explosive looking at the soybean chart. And I think if soybeans do what I think they're going to do, we're going to, you know, we're going to see $10, $11, $12 soybeans, and that's going to pull corn with it. And if you go 2-to-1, you know, we're going to start talking about some $5 corn or $5.50 corn.
So you believe Mother Nature has done the job and restricted supply?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just a matter of time. Everybody's waiting around to hear more and more yields. And I think the yields are easily 10% below last year. And you look at last year's number and subtract 10% off of those yields, and you got a balance sheet that's extremely tight. And I think it's going to work like 93. 93, the market rallied all the way into the January final. And then that was the top of the old crop. Now the new crop came back and made higher highs in June because it was worried about longer-term supplies. But the old crop peaked on the January final in 1994. So I'm kind of leaning toward a 93-94 run. But we got to get the further down the road on harvest. We got to see what this early frost may or may not do to quality and yield. But there's just too much June corn out there, and just too much late June, early July beans that I just don't see how we can even get close. I don't think we can get within 10% of last year's yield. So that's why I look at the chart and it just looks to me like we're ready to go here. We're just waiting for the nuclear bomb to go off. And the end users are going to have to cover like they've never seen it. And I like the idea that the funds are still wanting to kind of sell this thing. So I look for the June highs to be taken out. And then we're going to be reaching for some higher highs as we go down the road.
That is different than what I thought you were going to tell me, for sure. I was thinking, Dan, that you...
Now, longer term, I think we're still in a super bear market. But I think in the short run, the commodities are going to have their day. The dollar is going to break. Gold futures have already turned into a major bull market to the upside. So and the stock market is just wallowing around, going sideways. So I think the stock market is going to be more of a sideways type affair and a big, broad trading range. And I think commodities are going to go higher.
Yeah. So here's what I thought you were going to tell me is that you heard both Bill Gentry and Garrett Toy say, well, the corn made it through September. September was warm, and it put a lot of growing degree days on. And Garrett, I think, said the corn crop is made, but it's just not in the bin. And it depends on when we get a frost. And so that there might be a higher price, but there could be a really big dock for bad corn or corn that's coming in after a freeze.
I'm sure that that June corn, if it gets clipped, we'll probably have record discounts. I mean, there's nothing normal anymore about anything. Everything's a record. So we'll probably have record discounts. Whatever they are, we'll have record discounts if we get a bunch of early frosted corn, damaged corn. I'm sure you'll see discounts that's totally off the charts. Just like basis levels, we've seen record changes in basis levels over the past couple of years. And you know, I'm sure the discounts will just go off the charts.
Bill, you have thoughts?
Yes, the bottom line is I think we've had crops in the past that were really difficult to dry down. I think we're going to run into that this year with the quality of the kernels and the maturity differences. As much variety as we have in same fields, drying this crop and putting it away is going to be really tough. One of the things we've talked about is moving the crop earlier rather than later because storability is going to be really hard. And I think it's just going to be a bigger mixed bag than most producers have been expecting. And it's been basically it's going to be a result of the same type of year where it's been highly variable. And it's not the way that we wanted it to be. It's just the situation we're going to have to manage.
How about you, Garrett?
I would agree with Bill completely. I would respectfully disagree about the rally potential. The one thing that makes me a little bit nervous, yes, the funds are short, but the issue I'm trying to wrap my mind around is, you know, as far as rally potential in the corn market, you know, the reason we, you know, this market structure is set up just like it was the spring when we had the planting issues. So the longevity of any sort of market rally, should we have one, is what my question is because, you know, you've got the managed money long and you've got the managed money short, and the managed money short is very, very short and they're starting to cover, but the money managed money length in this market is at its lowest level since the, you know, the Great Recession. So longs and bulls in this market are, they don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. And that's what concerns me about, you know, rally potential, is that we may get another chance in here to sell some corn, but how long are we going to be able to stay at those levels where, you know, the market wants to be shorter. You know, they got short the spring, got a record massive short, got chased out of that, and now they built this short again, and things aren't going great. And, you know, I would like to, if we're going to have a sustained rally, I'd like to see some longs show up in this market rather than just short covering. And that's the thing that kind of that struggles to me, and whether that's a function of just kind of commodity trade over the last several years, you know, interest in commodity trade or disinterest, for lack of a better term. You know, I kind of question if, you know, I agree with the 425 potential if for the frost or that sort of issue, but if markets above 470, 450, that area definitely, you know, we saw it this summer, especially with a supply-driven type market issue, really struggled and hesitated at those levels.
So I want to follow up on one other thing. Basis has been good across the whole of the Midwest, the Corn Belt, because the expectations are that the crop probably isn't there. So is there something that a producer can do now, whether it's with basis or some other tool? And I think I'll start with you, Bill Gentry, on this one, in order to get themselves in a better marketing position, even if they don't fully price out the crop?
You know, I think a lot of the guys are looking at using storage. And I think when you talk about good basis levels now, I don't necessarily think if we tack on, like Dan was talking about, if we tack on 50 cents or a dollar in this market, the basis will probably slip out. This has been doing the heavy lifting for the last couple of months. And I think that transition, or that might shift to the futures market. But the bottom line is, you know, rewarding this market as best we can, utilizing bin space, because we just don't know exactly what we have and won't till we get done with the combine. So realistically, making value-based sales, especially for stuff that you're going to overrun your storage capacity with, and locking in some of this basis going forward, and then price respectably. I mean, if we get to 420, you know, that's a price point where you just got to lock some stuff in, and you can do it sooner than that. Now, I haven't talked anybody out of making sales for an extended period of time, but I also kind of go on. Thought is, be prepared to reown with some calls, because if the futures market kicks in, that's where the money could be made.
I agree completely. I mean, the customers that we've talked to this summer, considering the growing conditions, you know, making recommendations of forward contract, you know, it was like trying to pull teeth because they don't know what they have. They don't have a good handle on it. And so the strong basis, it may be masquerading, and it's being compounded because of the late harvest that we've had around here. I've heard some pretty stout basis numbers trading in even northwest Iowa, you know, this week, just because, you know, we haven't been able to get the field and that sort of thing. It's just kind of compounded the issue. But exactly right. If the board is going to rally, you know, the basis has been doing the work, because the farmer hasn't really sold anything because they don't know what they have. Hopefully next 30, 40, 5 to 5 days, we get in the field, get a better handle of things, and you know, producer has to make some sales. The other aspect of it is true as well, is that with, you know, the Trump dollars, you know, cash flowing, the producer, they really don't have to make sales, and not, you know, not encouraging that or not, you know, endorsing that, but that's the way it is, you know, is that, you know, the farmer is going to, you know, potentially going to have to make some catch-up sales here at some point, even though their cash flow needs have been, you know, covered by other sources this the past 3-4 months.
Dan Zwicker, what does your experience tell you about this kind of fall, if anything?
Well, I mean, basis contracts, they're good as long as you fully understand what you're doing. And when you do a basis contract, you got to have a certain price in mind to pull the trigger. Otherwise, you overstay it, and then you get caught having to roll it to the next contract, and then you got to roll it depending upon if it's a carry market or not. You know, I've always told people that if you want to trade basis, go get a job with ADM or Bungie or Cargill and be a basis trader. That's what they do. You know, that's their business. It's trading basis. Farmers don't have a lot of luck trading basis in the long pull. Every once in a while, they can maybe get a good hit in, but most of the time, that it's strikeouts. But yeah, on a fall like this, we'll just have kind of take it one day at a time. But my bias is that you're going to want to sell this rally between now and, let's say, the January crop report. If it goes like I think it's going to go, you'll want to at least have your inventory priced, or you'll want to have a lot of put protection underneath it. And you'll have to take a good look at putting some put protection under the 2020 crop. Yeah, this thing, no, I think this thing could really roll. I think China demand for soybeans, I think that could really catch on fire. I think Trump is going to get this refinery exemption straightened out, and all of a sudden we're going to have a little stronger demand for ethanol. So I'm pretty optimistic that we're headed toward a very inflationary type marketplace with 0% interest rates, negative interest rates. That's eventually going to stir up inflation because there's no place to go with the money other than to buy something with it. And I think commodities are going to be the next big wave, because the stock market is pretty well overbought. If you wanted to buy stocks, you've had plenty of opportunities to buy stocks. And I think, you know, the way it is trading, it seems kind of heavy. And I even heard today that they're going to an 8-year loan on car loans now. Well, if you got to go 8 years on a car loan to sell a car, I would say that car market is overbought. So I'm friendly. Oil prices, gold prices, you know, anything commodity related, I think it's going to have a nice run in here. Now, whether or not it's going to happen soon enough to help farmers this crop year or not, we'll have to kind of wait and see. But I'm really friendly commodities.
How about this one? Does anybody think the month of October for corn will average more than the February crop insurance price at $4?
I think it could. I think we have a decent shot at it. And it really doesn't need to average above $4, really. I mean, because your crop insurance policies, for them to actually work, it's got to be 85% of $4. So there's no money there. I don't think there's going to be any insurance money on corn. So, but yeah, I think $4 corn for the month of October is in the cards.
Let's get a final thought from each of you, I think. I'll start with you, Bill Gentry, from Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana.
One of the things that we haven't talked about recently is the stocks-to-use ratios for corn and beans. Next week's report could adjust those numbers significantly. And if those numbers come down into the 10 or 12% category, I think that that definitely shores up the price potential for this market and probably means the move could come sooner rather than later.
Garrett Toy of First Choice Commodities out of Stockton, Illinois.
We haven't talked much about soybeans other than production issues, but, you know, there's rains in the forecast for South America. You know, China's buying. They're not going to be able to get through this fall time period without buying U.S. soybeans like they did last year. And with, you know, a lack of a wholesale rain forecast out there, there might be some nervous end user buying nervous end users out there watching the soybean market, especially, you know, how South America is starting out, potential political changes in South America, and then how our crop is finishing.
And Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas.
Just don't believe everything you hear on the radio.
Nice. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Our thanks go to our panelists, including Dan Zwicker, Garrett Toy, and Bill Gentry. Look us up, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, and you can believe it if you hear it as a podcast. I'm Todd Gleason.